I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight, live from the Wells Fargo Center in South Philadelphia. The arena is filling up at this hour. The crowd is anticipating the arrival of President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. Joining me to review the day's proceedings is WHYY's Katie Culinary. Katie, a group of angry delegates for Bernie Sanders walked out of the convention and staged a protest in the media tent last night. Are there many empty seats this evening where Sanders supporters once sat?
Well, I was down on the floor before things got underway this afternoon, and while I know that some of the Pennsylvania delegation aren't here, many have come back. I spoke to Sanders delegate Kitty Snyder from Philadelphia, who participated in last night's walkout and was back in her seat tonight.
I'm here again because I know they will fill my seat with somebody who will cheer and make it look like a unified party, and it's not a unified party.
Snyder told me she's planning to participate in what she called a silent protest later, although she wouldn't say exactly what she's planning to do. Another Sanders delegate told me there's a sort of loosely organized plan for some of them to stand up and turn their backs on vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine to protest the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal.
Now, Snyder is among delegates who've been vocal during the convention. Well, I believe polls show most Sanders supporters are ready to back Clinton.
That's right, Dave. I spoke to Sherry Cohen. She's a Sanders delegate from Philadelphia, and she did not walk out last night because she says she's a committed Democrat, albeit a progressive one on the further left wing of the party.
So I am committed to helping and wanting to transform our party, like the rest of the country, to be a true voice for working families, marginalized peoples, and I believe we need to stay and fight for the soul of our party.
Now, we're going to be hearing from Clinton's vice presidential pick, Tim Kaine, Delaware's own Vice President Joe Biden, and then President Barack Obama. But prior to that, we'll hear from former Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey. Katie, what does he bring to the lineup?
Well, before he came to Philadelphia, Charles Ramsey has held other top cop posts, including Washington, D.C., and I believe Chicago, and he's become very well-known in White House circles. In 2014, Obama appointed Ramsey to chair his task force on 21st century policing, which focused on efforts to improve the trust between cops and the communities that they serve, especially communities of color. So he's really been a major figure on the criminal justice reform front.
And as such, can we anticipate what he's apt to say this evening?
We're not sure exactly what he's going to say, but we can imagine that he's going to speak to the role of police in what is a really turbulent time of mass shootings and high-profile killings of citizens by police. Last night, we heard from the mothers of the movement, that's relatives of people who've been killed by police. Of course, the Philadelphia Police Union, the FOP, was upset by that because there are no widows or relatives of cops killed in the job scheduled to speak at the convention. But Ramsey's was one of the names that the DNC brought up to kind of deflect that criticism. And I think Ramsey is going to represent the voice of reform-minded police who recognize that there's a change that needs to happen in these communities. And I think we're going to hear him stick up for the good cops, those who go out and do their jobs every day and put themselves in harm's way. I caught up with State Representative Leslie Acosta, who represents North Philly. It's the second poorest district in Pennsylvania, and she describes the relationship between the police and communities there as hostile.
I think we need to hear the message from Ramsey around this issue of effective policing strategies and community. We have to merge those two things together, because if we don't, we're not going to de-escalate all of this crime between police and community. We have to start de-escalating and really start healing and mending fences between the police department and our community.
And Acosta gives Charles Ramsey a B-plus for his job as the former police commissioner of Philadelphia, and she says she's most looking forward to hearing from President Obama tonight. It's her first convention, and the Pennsylvania delegation is sitting right near the front of the stage, Dave, and that's no accident because this is an important swing state.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Dave.
WHYY's Katie Culinary. Now, immigration was the subject of many protests outside the DNC. Two mayors of cities with large immigrant populations met at a public panel to discuss how immigration issues play at the local level. WHYY's Elizabeth Perez Luna reports.
For the mayors of Philadelphia and New York City, the positive economic and social impact of immigrants is a no-brainer. The problem is often finding ways to stimulate old and new immigrants to participate in the political and social life of their cities. And for the general population, says New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, to leave their prejudices behind and remember their own pasts.
Anyone who thinks that they don't have an American story that at one point involved discrimination and a sense of coming from the wrong place doesn't know American history.
Both de Blasio and Mayor Kenney recall the stories of hardship of their own families, immigrants from Italy and Ireland, respectively. They recognize that active involvement in the social fabric of a modern city is not a given when undocumented immigrants live in fear of being caught and perhaps deported. There's another important part of the equation, notes Mayor Kenney.
If this were white, European, undocumented immigrants, we wouldn't be having this discussion. This is about brown people. What we deal with in a lot of problems in our world, in our country, are race-based.
To tackle some of these issues, among other goals, Mayor Kenney wants more diversity in every city institution and service in Philadelphia.
There's no connection or little connection from the ethnic communities to their government, and I think we can do that at every level, every department in our city. We can then really be welcoming to people because they're part of the fabric of our community.
De Blasio has just launched ID NYC, a card that allows any resident to be able to identify themselves regardless of their status.
For a lot of people, it was the only ID they could get that they could use to visit their child's school or get into a hospital to visit a loved one or get a lease, get a bank account, and that made it very, very popular.
Not only with undocumented immigrants, de Blasio says, but with the NYPD. As the participants in this discussion join the rest of the Democrats at the DNC, it remains to be seen what role immigration reform will play in the upcoming elections. The forum, sponsored by the city, was held at the National Jewish History Museum. Elizabeth Perez Luna, WHYY News.
Traveling with the Donald Trump campaign this afternoon, NPR political reporter Sarah McCammon, we caught up with her outside of a town hall meeting in Lackawanna College, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Sarah, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
What was the topic?
Well, a lot of things. Trump began by talking a lot about, issues he often talks about, making America great again and jobs. He talked in particular, though, about, he touched briefly on Russia. It's been an issue in the news today, of course, going back to the WikiLeaks hack, the emails from the Democratic National Committee that show Democratic officials actively supporting Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders during the primary season. Trump, for the last couple of days, has been sort of mocking Democratic disunity over that issue. And there's been a whole series of events unfolding as a result, including suggestions that perhaps Russia is involved in that hack. It's something that Democrats, including President Obama, have said they're concerned about. And there have been suggestions that maybe there are ties between Russia and Donald Trump. That's something that Trump is flatly denying. He says he has zero ties to Russian business, that he doesn't know President Vladimir Putin. And today in Scranton, he said briefly that, he'd like to be friendly with Russia, and then pivoted to talking about, again, a major topic that we hear from him a lot on the campaign trail, about trade, about cutting trade deals with other countries.
How did his message resonate with those in attendance?
This was a really enthusiastic crowd. This venue was, I would say, a little too small for the crowd. It was packed. People were on their feet, chanting and cheering. And, this one was especially high energy. This is a blue-collar, working-class, largely white part of Pennsylvania. Scranton is. It's a region that he's been to before. He's very popular here. These are the kinds of working class voters that have really been sort of the core of his campaign. He's expanded beyond that, obviously, but these are the kind of people that his message really resonates with. And one thing I've been noticing starting a week or two ago, it's something we've been hearing more and more, is that the mention of Hillary Clinton sort of prompts the crowd to stand up and chant, lock her up, lock her up. This is something we heard a little bit of at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland last week. And today in Scranton, people were on their feet, sort of raising their fists in the air and chanting that. There's a lot of not only fervor for Donald Trump, but anti-Hillary Clinton sentiment here in this crowd.
As you've been following his campaign, obviously at the conventions, and we are in day three of the Democratic National Convention, the speakers are more or less preaching to the choir. Is there any sense with Donald Trump now, post-convention, out on the road, that he's working to entice those who are still undecided to come over to his side?
Well, Donald Trump talks about winning over, you know, African American voters. He says he's going to be great for African Americans. He's going to be great for women. But the polls I've seen suggest he still has a really hard time with minority voters, that women still have a very negative view of Trump on average. But I think at the convention last week, we saw a little bit more of that, you know, come over and join us message.
Are you tasked specifically with staying with his campaign right through the fall?
Yeah, I am covering Donald Trump through November. Tamara Keith, my colleague at NPR, is covering the Hillary Clinton campaign, and lots of others on the NPR politics team are filling in here and there and doing other stories. And so, you know, you can catch that for the next several months.
Well, then, Sarah McCammon, I'm sure our WHYY-FM audience will have ample opportunity to hear from you in the weeks and months ahead. Thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
NPR political reporter Sarah McCammon. And still ahead this evening, the Democrats aren't the only show in town this week. For Comedy Central's Daily Show, covering the convention is a sprint.
Run out, grab this, shoot it, get back here, do it again. Oh, you're running this way. You know, no, turn around, shoot that. That's not usually the pace that we're at. We have to act a little bit more like a real news team, which is not, you know, none of us signed up for that at all.
The Daily Show comes to Penn. Details when NewsWorks Tonight continues on WHYY. Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller, live from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. The Democratic Party's platform on the environment has lofty goals. The convention itself is trying to live up to them while hosting a crowd of some 50,000. Now, can all those people travel, eat, and party without taking a toll on the environment? WHYY's Irina Zhurov reports.
If you're looking for a trash can at the Pennsylvania Convention Center or the Wells Fargo Center, where the DNC events are taking place, you'll likely come across a set of three bins, one for recycling, one for compost, and one for the landfill. Say you have a cup of water.
You're first going to dump the water out into the landfill bin because the bags we're using here are biodegradable, so we don't really want to put liquids in our compost area. But then if you have a paper cup, your paper cup, that can get composted.
That's Lindsay Conlon from New Jersey. She's one of the Green Team volunteers that are supposed to stand by these bins, helping people figure out where their trash should go.
And then if you have a plastic bottle, that can go in our recycling stream. We're using single stream recycling, so we're taking all types of plastics, papers, cardboards, and aluminums.
The goal is to divert 85% of the convention's waste from the landfill. The bins are the most visible piece of a larger sustainability plan, which includes promoting mass transit and bike share availability, encouraging the use of locally produced food, and donating uneaten food to pantries and emergency meal providers. Officials will also track how much energy the venues consume during the convention. Local utility PECO and its parent company Exelon will use that data to buy carbon credits. Here's Exelon's Bill Von Haney.
What we will do is this. Exelon will purchase carbon-free offsets representing a combination of nuclear, hydro, wind, and solar energy to effectively eliminate the carbon footprint of the Democratic National Convention.
Three Squares, a sustainability consulting company, has been organizing the convention's greening. Founder Jamie Knack says the efforts are a chance to help Philadelphia on its own sustainability goals, in addition to the events. Let's go back to the trash collection. While the venues have composted in the past, the closing of a major composting facility has slowed those efforts, says Knack.
One of our key goals for convention is to really attach them to newer compost facilities, implement the system again, breathe new life into the system so that that system can stay in place from convention and beyond.
But she would not say where this composting material is being sent. So we couldn't confirm whether this really will build capacity for Philadelphia in the long run. Knack says an even more important goal of these efforts is education.
When you have such a diverse audience coming from different regions, different cities that may or may not have, you know, recycling or compost infrastructure in place, a lot of this is educating them about what happens in other cities, and potentially they could bring some of these lessons learned back to their cities and then implement changes at home.
In this way, the convention may also have some lessons to teach to the event planning industry at large. After all, sustainability is a relatively new concern for the DNC. In 2004, in Boston, greening efforts were led by an outside environmental group whose head had to raise money for his own salary. By 2008, in Denver, the DNC was a case study for events and sustainability. 72% of waste was diverted from landfills that year, with some venues exceeding the 85% goal.
It really helped trigger that there was a demand for moving in this direction for the events industry as a whole. And since then, international event standards developed for sustainability.
We won't know how successful this year's sustainability initiatives are until the convention is over, the tonnages of garbage, compost, and recycling are added up, and we know how many carbon credits will be bought to offset electricity use. In the early days, some of the composting bins were closed, and Green Team volunteers were not staffing each one. But that does seem to be improving. Irina Zhurov, WHYY News.
The Daily Show, Comedy Central's nightly comedic take on the news, is taping in Philly this week during the Democratic National Convention. And from WHYY's Arts and Culture desk, Peter Crimmins reports the show's hustling in the heat to get the flavor of the convention and its host city.
We're coming to you from the University of Pennsylvania's Annenberg Center, which means The Daily Show is officially in Philadelphia, baby!
Trevor Noah normally hosts The Daily Show from a studio in New York that seats less than 200 people. This audience at the Annenberg Center is almost four times larger. That and the fact that the focus of American politics right now is just 5 miles away brought the show to town.
All of our stories are right here.
That's Tim Greenberg. He's one of the producers of the show.
If we want to ask somebody a question, usually it takes 3 weeks of trying to book it, and then people say no, and then they drop out. All we have to do here is we just have a correspondent run down to the convention center, which is not nothing. Getting in and out is a pain, but we have the whole political world just right there waiting for us.
That is why just about every other media outlet in the world is in Philadelphia right now. There's about 15,000 reporters in the city. The difference is that The Daily Show is not really a news organization. It's a comedy show about news. For its first show while in town, The Daily Show spent a lot of time with Bernie Sanders supporters, disappointed that he's now backing Hillary Clinton, and with leaked emails showing the Democratic committee may have actively tried to block Sanders' nomination.
Another email scandal? Oh, the Democrats get up to more with emails than a Nigerian prince. Like, what the hell?
So The Daily Show sent a pair of correspondents down to the Wells Fargo Center to protect Democrats from their own email folly by hijacking all the cell phones and computers they could find.
I think it doesn't reflect well on the Democratic Party.
Can I see your cell phone real quick?
Sure. Oh, my God!
The Daily Show spent last week in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention. Greenberg, the producer, said it was easier to find jokes at the RNC than at the DNC. In fact, too easy.
I mean, the fact that Scott Baio was one of the speakers, we didn't even make a joke about it because there was so much else to make jokes about. On any normal day, the fact that that's the best they could get would be a big deal. But it didn't even make the cut. That wasn't in the top 100 most ridiculous things that happened last week.
Part of the problem with The Daily Show is that it's taped at 6 p.m. and then broadcast at 11 p.m. And in that interim, most of the convention speeches take place. By necessity, some of the jokes are a day behind. However, on Thursday, The Daily Show will broadcast live immediately following Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech. They'll be writing jokes literally up to the last minute. I'm Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov and Kimberly Haas. Our coverage of the Democratic National Convention resumes at 8 this evening on WHYY-FM from NPR and PBS, as President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden are scheduled to speak. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.